Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So last week after the first presidential debate, we brought you the optics analysis of that debate. And today we're going to do the same, this time with the body language of Biden and Ryan. Let's try that again. Of Biden and Ryan. Their names are too similar. So call us up and tell us what you think about the way they look. Did anybody do the classic test, at least for a while, of turning the sound off on the television and just watching them solo or on the split screen? 212-433-WNYC. Or even if you were listening to the sound, because it was so interesting to hear them talk, I'm sure very few people actually turned off the sound on the television. What did you think about the way they look? 212-433-9692. There's a piece on this in the Washington Post today with the headline, Body Language Experts See Biden as in control, but debate the merit of those big grins. And it says, because really, who needed a Sesame Street character to grab all the post-debate attention when there was Joe Biden's smile or laugh, chuckle, grimace, grin, smirk, or a goofy face, according to various descriptions. It says, whether you loved or hated his performance, a decision that seemed to split along party lines, surprise, it was Biden who dominated the conversation during and after Thursday's vice presidential debate, with his animated facial reactions to almost anything, his opponent Paul Ryan said. The vice president also came up with the two catchiest phrases of the night, bunch of malarkey and bunch of stuff. Some impressions of the night from political communications and body language experts. It quotes Catherine Hall Jamieson from the University of Pennsylvania, who says, I'm not sure what that was. A smile? Not really. Not a laugh either, and not exactly a grin. It was really just something that said, I have an answer to that, and I'm holding it. Was it appropriate? Jamieson would simply analyze that as depending on one's allegiance. Another expert in the field thinks that even if some viewers were offended by the smiling, for lack of a better word, it helped Biden control the agenda. Quote from Jerry Schuster, who teaches political communications at the University of Pittsburgh, I think it was part of an overall strategy to keep Ryan off stride. He really could never finish a thought. And Jamieson echoed, whenever you're paying attention to the person reacting, it draws attention from the person talking. So what did y'all think? 212-433-WNYC about Biden or Ryan's body language. 212-433-9692. Karen in Manhattan, you're on the air. Hi, Karen.
Oh, hi. I was watching Biden's body language. What Biden was doing was trying to interrupt a debate strategy, which is called the Gish Gallop, and you can find it on Wikipedia. And it is what Romney did to Obama. And basically, you drown the opponent in half-truth, lies, and straw men in a short period of time. They can't respond. What Biden was doing with his body language was interrupting Ryan. So basically, he was signaling the audience, this isn't true, this isn't true, so that Biden couldn't, you know, that Ryan couldn't stack up using this Gish Gallop technique, yeah. This pile. And then when Biden started to respond, he actually then could pick out a couple of the really big lies and rebut them. But I think it was very effective, and I think this is a very difficult debate strategy to counter. I don't think Obama did it very well because I don't think he recognized what was going on. Mm-hmm. But I think if Biden had waited and let Ryan finish, that he would have ended up in the same position Obama had been in first time around. And I think the body language was his way of signaling this isn't true.
Karen, thank you very much. It certainly did say, to me anyway, Biden's face, oh, these Republicans, they are all so full of stuff. What will they come up with next? I am so amused by all these falsehoods. That was the overriding face of Joe Biden, I think, throughout the hour and a half. That was what it said. Suzanne in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, good morning, Brian. I agree with you. I think that that was the strategy. As a strategy, it was effective, but I just felt like it was too much grinning and it was a bit grotesque. I'm a Democrat. I really am glad that Biden called out Ryan on a lot of the lies, but I just felt like it was too much and it was a bad contrast to Ryan looking so serious.
What did you think as a Democrat about Ryan's seriousness? Did he look too serious? Did he look presidential as a result of looking serious and being relatively young? How did you see him?
I felt that he played really well. I think that he had a good command of his facts and that he came off as really smart. I completely disagree with his point of view on a lot of things, especially being pro-choice, but I felt like he probably, two undecideds might have played off very well and that Biden would have looked a little heavy-handed. I feel like the debate was a very high-level debate and people might not have followed it if they weren't a political junkie.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Robert in Rego Park, you're on the air. Hi, Robert.
Ryan, how you doing, guy? Continue to do a great job. My statement is this. It appeared to me when they would show Ryan like he was a kid with his hand in a cookie jar that was caught by his mother, that Biden treated him like a child, which he is because he's deceptive, he's dishonest, and definitely, in my opinion, he pointed out, Biden, that if you want to be protected, the middle class wants to be protected, you got to be crazy to vote for Ryan.
What was that, the physical expression of kid caught with his hand in the cookie jar?
Well, he tried to have this very innocent, youthful appearance, someone you could trust, yet that innocence was not based on truth. It was based on deception.
Robert, thank you very much. Tedla in Flushing, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tedla.
Yes, good morning, Brian. I mean, this debate happens to be when Yankee was playing, but the whole family watched it. I mean, we sacrificed the Yankee, and then we watched them. I want the kids to learn what debate is all about.
Tedla,
it
with
is
split
a very good debate. You know?
Tedla, with split allegiances to the Yankees and our country's future. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So what I see is that there were two guys, one old man, a little bit combative, a little bit, jumpy, and the other guy, a subdued man and polite. So body-wise language, they complement each other. If Ryan was a little bit jumpy like Biden, it could have been maybe a disaster. But substance-wise, Ryan held his ground, whatever belief, and the Biden held his ground. They were much educative than the previous one when Romney was going. So it shows that these two parties are different. So it is up to us to say what is good for our country. And I really admire the moderator. She really showed and put light on foreign affairs like the Libya, even if the answer we got was not convincing. But it was a very educational debate, and my kids love it too.
Tedla, thank you very much. And don't forget, Tedla, the game's at 5 o'clock this afternoon. It's not at 7, which is the usual start time, so don't miss it.
I don't miss it, Ryan. Thank you.
Thank you, Tedla. Carol in Bergen County, you're on the air. Hi, Carol.
Thank you so much. You provide on a daily basis such an incredible public service, and I have also really enjoyed your Swing States program in the evening. I found the whole thing very interesting. I was back and forth between watching it and then doing some work and just listening. And I find that consistently Paul Ryan speaks to himself in his head, and that it becomes increasingly more and more condescending as it goes along. For me, it reached a fevered pitch when he spoke about Mitt Romney going in and paying someone's children's tuition. I was very sick a few years ago, too. If Romney would like to come and put some money aside for my children's future tuition, that would be great. But I really felt that Joe Biden was vice presidential. He was clear. He was straight. He was there, and he was very, very on top of this is not right. And if there was any line that I thought summed up the whole evening, it was truly when Ryan made a comment about the gaffes that Joe Biden has said. But if anyone has been watching Joe Biden's career in the Senate, they know that what he said was true. Whatever he said is true. And I thought that it was so clear to both listen to it and to look at it where they're coming from.
Thank you very much. One more take on Biden that's going to be a lot different from Carol's, from Brett in Monmouth County. Hi, Brett.
Yeah, hi. Great show, as always. I just wanted to give you some background. Registered independent New Jersey, so we really don't vote in the primaries. Voted for Obama and Biden. I am undecided. I really don't like any of them. My field is neuropsych, memory thinking, learning disorders. I saw Vice President Biden yesterday, and I thought of one of my patients. He's emotional and behavioral lability. His inappropriate comments is interrupting. And I don't know how much of your audience remembers. About 22 years ago, Joseph Biden had neurosurgery where they removed a benign tumor. And I have always been, I've watched his behavior over the years. He's kind of funny. He's kind of interesting. I agree with a lot of the issues he has. But his behavior and his affect reminded me a lot of my neuropsych cases. And I worry that someone so disturbed is next in line to the presidency.
Are you really doing a psychological? I understand you're in the field, but an armchair psychological analysis of the fitness of the vice president?
Absolutely. We do it all the time. I'm also a forensic expert. I would never have called the show. I am very concerned that we have a disturbed person on our hand who is second in command to the President of the United States. He could have done, I mean, this is a man who should have been.
Why disturbed, though? I mean, back it up. Yes, he was, you know, people have said he was maybe condescending or even bullying, whatever. But give us your evidence. Why, if you're going to make the allegation that he's psychologically disturbed or unstable, what was it that you saw that indicated that to you?
Well, first of all, about 25 years of education, training, and clinical experience. This is why all of us wanted Hillary to run with Obama and not Biden.
But what was he showing to you?
If when someone is talking, it's beyond rudeness just to interrupt, to have facial expressions that are inconsistent with the seriousness of the matter being discussed. It's like if someone is crying during a funeral and someone is laughing and talking about another issue in his head or to someone else. That, unfortunately,
But was it so clinically inconsistent? I mean, you've heard a lot of the Democratic callers who said they completely got it, and maybe he was trying to energize the base as a matter of savvy strategy having this incredulous smile about things that he thought were ridiculous lies coming out of Ryan's mouth.
I was looking at it from a political point of view, but I'm also looking at it, unfortunately, we all do this, whatever our field of medicine is, and I'm looking at what he says, how his facial expression says what he says, his affect and his mood, and it was disturbing. And I know I look at it, the world a lot different than the average voter.
But that's how you saw it. And, Brett, thank you. We really appreciate it. We're going to leave it there. Thanks to all of you who called to talk about the body language from last night. Coming up next, Kevin Smith talks about his life in film, in podcasts, in the TV series Comic Book Man, and in this year's Comic-Con New York, taking place this weekend. Stay tuned.